This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, it's RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company. And on this Tuesday, time for a look at the week in Iceland and what has been happening recently. The conversation dominated, I guess, by the presidential election, which is now just 10 days away or thereabouts. My guest is my colleague here at RÚV, Valur Grettisson. Valur, good to talk to you once again.
Good to be here again.
Should we start with what's been breaking this morning? And by the time you hear this, this might have developed into something it might not. The workers at the... And we're not just having this conversation first because you are Mr. Volcano, but the workers at the Svartsengi power station, which is, of course, the part of the Reykjanes Peninsula, which has been very active, they've been told not to come to work today.
Yeah, I think this is just a standard procedure. And there are indicators. I mean, it's nothing new, actually, but there are obvious indicators that this will erupt again. It's only a matter of time and size, I guess. Mm. But this doesn't have any meaning when it comes to the civil guard or anything like that. They don't follow the same procedures.
Yeah.
But the company is just, they see changes in these holes.
The boreholes.
Okay. It's very similar to Icelandic, boreholur.
Okay.
Yeah, you say it differently.
Maybe we got the word from Iceland.
Perhaps. Yes. But the thing is, of course, that this basically, we're still just in the stage of like waiting, unknown, and so on. It's always the most uncomfortable phase when it comes to the volcano. It's the long wait.
Yes, and I remember the last time, maybe the last couple of times, there's someone who had a borehole in his garden, totally unofficial, but he saw activity and thought, well, I bet there's going to be eruption in the next 24 hours, and he was correct.
Yeah, I don't know how this works, but I mean, I'm guessing everything's getting hotter underneath.
Yes,
and therefore,
yes.
Like, you can see it obviously on these boreholes, at least when it comes to the geothermal.
What was interesting about the last eruption, of course, is that it was the second longest lasting since the peninsula woke up again. Now, you, of course, were hugely involved in covering the first two, those sort of tourist-friendly eruptions, as they were called. They went on for 6 months and then 3 weeks, I think, respectively. So the last one we had surprised us all. By lasting for, 5 weeks?
Yeah, something around that. And the funniest thing is that we actually asked, not a volcanologist, but whatever the word is.
Geophysicist?
Yes, something like that. Yeah. We asked, like, why was it going on for such a long time? And they said that they have no idea. This is completely new.
Yeah.
It behaved very differently from the other eruptions that were in the same area. All of them were exactly the same.
Yeah.
That's the funniest thing. Even like you see the first volcano in Sundhnúkagígaröð, which is absolutely a murder of a word. Then
just after we all figured out Eyjafjallajökull.
Exactly. And you actually say that pretty well. But
I've been practicing.
You've been practicing. Yeah, but the first volcano was large and it was beautiful. It was like a wall of fire, basically. And the second one was exactly the same thing. Both of these fissured out very quickly.
Yep.
But this one just, like the last one, just boiled there forever. Mm. And in the end, Iceland just completely just forgot about
this. We did. And at one point I had to think, because we had friends over from the UK in the last couple of weeks, and I had to think, is it still going on? Not that you could go and see it anyway, of course, because of where it was, but actually it had stopped by the time that they had arrived. And what's interesting about that is that everything we thought we knew about this new series of eruptions has now been completely thrown out of the window because they were lasting for days, sometimes for hours.
Yeah.
And then the last one comes along and upends everything we thought we knew from the last couple of years.
Yeah, it has a habit of surprising us. All of this area is just, it's incredible. I mean, I imagine just to being a geologist in Iceland right now is such a thrill.
Yes.
Well, not only today, but like in next decades, this will be studied, and there are so many weird things happening at the Reykjanes Peninsula. I mean, it has been devastating up to a point, of course, but nobody. It's not that dangerous for individuals or whatever like that, mostly because of precautions.
Because of the evacuation of Grindavík, of course, and the measures that are in place to get people out of the town really quickly.
Right, but I mean, we're going to see that these eruptions at the Sundhnúkagígaröð are going to keep on going. And I mean, now is basically the biggest fear is that the power plant will go down, go under the lava.
Yes.
That is, I think, for the long run, it's always becoming more likely than not.
And do you think that these lava walls, these defences that are built around the Blue Lagoon and Svartsengi, because they're next to each other, of course, they're designed to hold, they are designed to stop the lava from, as you say, covering the power station?
I have to say, these defence walls, are, I am quite surprised how well they work. I did not think that this would hold off anything. But, I mean, if there is anything that can stop it, then definitely these walls. But, I mean, given that this will go on, like, I mean, we have no idea. Is this the first year of 50? It's like this could be going on now for decades in the Reykjanes Peninsula, historically. And this is actually, it's quite frustrating. There are not that many datas about the area. But what we have is what Vikings were writing, because we actually wrote everything down, of course. But Vikings at the time were also just like us today. They were more into the Harald's hair, which was the king, the fair hair Haraldur. They wanted gossip, not facts and so on. So they wrote a lot about that. And then we're like, oh, yes, and there is a volcano, and there are actually two going on at the same time at the Reykjanes Peninsula, but who cares?
Yes.
But today we're like, what, two at the same time? That's weird. So all of these informations that we have from the Viking sagas, they are actually helping, but they indicate that this can be going on for a long time. We can see weird situations and so on.
The brilliant thing about these defensive walls is that they actually become better once lava hits them, because then the lava cools and forms part of the defense against new lava, depending on how they land.
Yeah, exactly. As I say, it's like, I think this is quite groundbreaking, that you can just stop lava flow or just direct it to like away from infrastructure.
Or you can build a new road over a lava flow in 48 hours. It's quite incredible what's been going on. And we've got to remember as well that a lot of this work, the work that was done to reconnect those hot water pipes and build a new pipe, this wasn't being done in May when it was quite sunny outside. This was being done when it was minus 10 with snow on the ground.
Yeah, that was the most brutal thing ever. I think those are the unsung heroes of Iceland. What they did was absolutely just incredible. And I do not... Also, just the people that were doing these defense walls while they were fleeing from the burning lava. It's ridiculous to see this.
Well, the other big story that's around just now, of course, and we touched on it, is the presidential election, which is now just 10 days away from where we sit at the moment. Every weekday on RÚV, of course, one of the 12 candidates has been interviewed in detail. We're hoping this week on RÚV English Radio to bring you the candidates in their own words in English. But interesting today, there's an opinion poll suggesting that the top three candidates are now separated by less than 3%. So this is really tightening up this race. People are moving their affections around a lot.
It is. It's unlike we've seen for a long time. Often we see more like what we saw with Hallarhund. I'm assuming that our listeners know this pretty well. Hallarhund is, of course, one of the contestants.
She's in second place on the latest poll.
She's in the second place. She went very high. This was also in 2012 when Þóra Arnórsdóttir, a former journalist actually here at the RÚV, she was going against the sitting president at the time. She got 50% in the polls, but ended with far less, and the sitting president actually won.
Yes.
So these elections are just very different from everything else. Even when it comes to the polls, I'm a little skeptic about a lot of it. I think Icelanders, they take the decisions literally in the last days before the elections. So it's really hard to poll this. We can see who are the strongest, but we can see also trends that Katrín Jakobsdóttir, which is the front runner, former prime minister, her poll numbers. They are literally like a straight line. It's it doesn't go down, doesn't really go up, meaning that she's quite strong.
But other candidates have woven around up and down, haven't they?
Most of them, yes.
Either side of her line. So the top three candidates at the moment, they've all been in the lead at some point.
Yeah, but the thing is, of course, Baldur Thorhalls, which is in the third place, I think, he is similar to Katrín Jakobs, but Hallarhund is obviously going very rapidly down. At the same time, as I said, I think half of the nation do not know what they're going to vote for.
Yes.
So it could be, I think the election night will be quite the right.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be fascinating. My first one here in the country, and I love politics, so I find this absolutely fascinating. And this has been the first really competitive presidential election for some years.
In 2012, it was quite like it was very likely that the Þóra Arnórs would win the sitting president, which was an amazing situation. But he is a smart guy, and he did what he did, and he won in the end. Mm. In 2016, when Guðni Th, our now president, it was not that obvious that he would win, and there were incredible things in the end of the night, where Halla Tómasdóttir, also running again now, she was polling very low most of the time, but she almost won. She got like 29%, while Guðni Th got 36%.
Yes.
It was like the polls were just way off when it came to her.
So I think we can say with some certainty, whatever happens, whoever becomes Iceland's new president is going to win with quite a low percentage of the vote.
Yeah, this is new, actually, a new debate. Like, should we do this like the French, for example? They have a very nice system where a lot of people try to get elected as a president. If you don't get 50%, then you have to go and
you vote again.
Vote again, only with the highest two. And I think, I'm not sure if this is the correct way for Icelanders. It doesn't, because in my mind it's like you can win with under 30% even. It's very low, actually. But the next elections would determine if you are loved by the nation or not.
And there are other models. I think it's called instant runoff. So instead of waiting a few weeks for the second round, everyone has two votes in the first election. So they pick their favourite, but they also have a second vote.
Right.
And then all the other candidates are eliminated and those votes are distributed. So there's different ways of doing it. But either of them address this question that you've got a candidate winning not just without 50%, but maybe even without 30% of the vote.
Yeah, but the thing is, of course, with Guðni Th, is an excellent example about
the sitting president.
Yeah, the sitting president. He got 36% when he was elected, which is not that high. But 4 years later, he got well over 90% of the votes. I think there were elections, actually. It was not very convincing. But he gets like... the 4 years later, they get like incredibly high votes.
And that's if they're even opposed, because of course it used to be the case that a sitting president generally wouldn't be opposed.
For the longest time, that was considered as like just being flat out rude.
In bad manners.
Because you just didn't do that. They were the first time this happened was actually in the 80s.
Yes.
There was a woman that did this, I think in 86, went against the Vigdís Finnbogadóttir, the first female president in the world, of course.
Yes.
And this was also a female, she was from the Westman Island. She was scolded literally for doing this. If you go into the read old articles, it's unbelievable to see this and just how we viewed the democracy. Actually.
Yes, I love that. The idea that it's just rude, just bad manners to oppose a sitting president. Well, we shall see if in 4 years' time, whoever wins this time is opposed and whether that candidacy is considered to be rude or otherwise. Valur, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
We shall talk again. And remember, by the time you hear this conversation, who knows, maybe there will have been further developments on the Reykjanes Peninsula. Truv English Radio, I'm Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime by email english@ruv.is.
There is more from Truv English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. Truv English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, Truv.